Today is the 6th of January 2008. We follow the lesson about the Brahmanet Sutra and the Bodhisattva precepts, page 16. Before we begin with the lesson, we pray to the Buddha three times. Namo Bhagavate Thikkha Mauni Padma Namo Bhagavate Thikkha Mauni Padma Namo Bhagavate Thikkha Mauni Padma. We arrive to the fourth on the 16th, last time. We just followed the most virtuous one, or Upasaka Upasika, we learned last time, right? Join your palms together and listen attentively. I am now about to recite the preamble to the great precepts of the Buddha. Preamble means like the preface. Most virtuous one, be silent and attentive. In this assembly, those who are aware that they have transgressed should repent. That is, who should have committed some kind of sins. With repentance, we learned last time, right? Peace of mind is restored. Without repentance, your transgressions will become heavier. Those who have not transgressed may remain silent. By your silence, I know that you are pure. That is, if someone who has committed some sin, just make it known. Whenever you make it known, you are like a pardon. So if you keep silent, reciter will know that the assembly is pure. I know that you are pure. Most virtuous one, or Upasaka Upasika, we learn that. Listen attentively. In this Dharma ending age, following the demise of the Buddha, we should reverently keep the Pratimosa. We have two things here to learn. The Dharma ending age. In Vietnamese, you see it in here, Thời Mạt Pháp. Mạt Pháp, sometimes you heard them saying Mô Pháp, this is Mạt Pháp. Because in Mahayana, we divide in three periods. The Rai Dharma, the semblance or the image of the Dharma, and the ending of the Dharma. That is something which grow will be destroyed. Buddha Dharma is the same thing. When the Buddha Shakyamuni was present 500 years after the Shakyamuni Buddha, is called the real Dharma. That is, you learn or you practice easily. After that 1,000 years, it's like the image of the Dharma only. And after that, the ending of the Dharma. Because all the religion, all the thinking will grow. And then you might not keep the Dharma of the Buddha easily. So that's called the Dharma ending age. But many people or many scholars don't believe in that. The reason is that some of these sutras saying about the Dharma ending were never found in the Theravada. That is, the Hinayana, they never talk about this Dharma ending age. So you just understand that in this, figuratively speaking, that is, in this age where we are very, very far away from the Buddha, we might not be easy to follow him. But in fact, it's easier. Because now you have more sutra, you can read easily. You can get in touch with the monks, all the people easier than the time before. So believe it or not, just understand Dharma ending age, what does it mean? We should reverently keep the Pratimosa. Pratimosa is the Sanskrit word for precepts. In Vietnamese, they transliterate in Ba La De Mục Xoa. Pratimosa, Ba La De Mục Xoa. So it's no big deal, right? We should keep the Pratimosa in the collection of the precepts. The Pratimosa is known other than these precepts. Those who keep these precepts are like wanderers in the dark stumbling upon the light. Light is easier to understand, right? Like, we go in the dark and we suddenly see a light. Because if you don't have the precept, we don't know about the precepts, we might transgress them, and we might not understand. And we might practice wrong. Like the destitute coming upon the treasure. Destitute means poor. Poor, and then we suddenly find some treasure. Like the sick fighting a cure, easy to understand. Like prisoners set free. like wanderers discovering the way home. Like, you know, we are like lost, and now, you know, we suddenly find the way home. Let it be understood that the precepts are the worthy teacher to us all, as though the Buddha were sitting here among us. That is, the reason they say that is that because in the time, whenever the Buddha was nearly to die, in the Parinirvana Sutta, that is, in the sutta, the Buddha said when he was about to die, Ananda asked him, teacher, master, whenever you go away, what can we do now? What can we rely on? Because in the time, you know, whenever the Buddha was alive, he taught, but then now he's gone. And the Buddha answered, after my nirvana, keep the precept up as your master. Not the Dhamma, not the Sutra, not the praying, the precepts. Because the precepts, you know, keep them to be right. Keep the monks, the nuns, the lay people on the straight way. If you don't keep the precept, whatever you know, or however you know, like, you know, a lot of scholar, like we learned before, a lot of Christians, you know, learn about Buddhism. They know a lot about Buddhism, more than us. In fact, you know, they are very intelligent. They knew more. But then, well, they are not Buddhists. So if we keep the precept, that is, a Buddhist must keep the precepts, like a 5 precepts, 8 precepts, 10 precepts, 58 precepts, 250 precepts, depending on what you vow. So let it be understood that precepts are a worth teacher to us all, as though the Buddha was still here among us. If you do not fear transgression, that is, you know, if we do not fear to commit some wrongdoing, it is difficult to develop a wholesome mind. That is, you know, like we have some precept, like, say, do not kill, do not steal, do not lie. Say, lying is no big deal, I don't care anyone. Bragging is no big deal. Ooh. So if I just think like that, it is difficult to develop a wholesome mind. I will get used to it. Easy to understand. If I think positive thinking, like, you know, they teach you in the morning, go to the bathroom, look in the mirror, say, hey, you're number one. You're great. You're the most handsome boy in the whole universe. That's positive thinking. They push you to do it to avoid depression. It's all right. But then, look, if you keep on doing it every day, you might get a swollen head. Swollen head, and then, well, you're not realistic anymore. So you cannot develop a wholesome mind. Therefore, the sutra contains this teaching: do not regard a minor misdeed as inconsequential. See, very important. Like, you know, for a monk, there are rules saying that, well, the monk is not supposed to keep money. They say, oh, that's no big deal. Now I have to go somewhere from here to here, travel, and things like this. If I don't keep money, how can I do? So I apply for Visa, MasterCard, and do everything. And then you see, yeah, all these stuff. They can get attached to it, and then they can do like a wrongdoing thing. In time, drops of water may fill a large vessel. Offenses committed in a moment may result in eons of suffering in hell. See? Because, you know, one little transgression, like some people who start to steal. You know, like there was a victim saying that when you were young, you steal an egg, and then whenever you become old, you understand what I mean, right? So if you think like, you know, stealing is no big deal, don't think that, you know, it's inconsequential. That is it. Offense is committed in the moment. Once the human state is lost, it may not be regained for a myriad of lifetime. Ah, it's very important. Because, see, like we say, human state, like we are reborn in this life form. This life form is human life form. And a human life form is very precious because what? Why? Because we have the choice. It's different from like an animal. If I'm reborn like a tiger, how can I become vegetarian? I have to kill someone every day to eat something. But whenever I'm human, I can either eat meat or I can eat vegetables. So I have a choice. I can either lie or I can tell the truth. that is why, you know, the human state is lost, it may not be regained for myriads of lifetimes. Being human, you know, is easy to practice. Yours is like a galloping horse. Oh, that's talking about you. Our life is more fleeting than the waters of a mountain stream. But you don't realize that, right? Today we are alive, tomorrow who knows? Let each of us practice diligently and single-mindedly. Youth is like a galloping horse. When I was young, I think, well, I will live forever. Monks, who care about them? They just invent things. There's nothing else. Oh, the world, hell, heaven, who care? And you never think that you can die. Yeah, our life is more fleeting than the waters of the mountain stream. But it runs, even runs. You see, like me, see, 40 years, 50, 60 years ago, I was young. Now, you see, many of my friends died already. So, the life no change, and keep on changing every day. Today we are alive, tomorrow who knows. Let each of us practice diligently and single-mindedly. Do not be lax, that is, do not be lazy. God, again, laziness. Okay, do not be lax, that is, let it go. Like, okay, today's too cold. Oh, no, I don't get up. And say, oh, there's no people here, only me, you see, so who cares? Do not indulge in rest and sleep. Very easy to do, right? Like you practice piano. Say, okay, I practice like 1 hour every day. So you set up 1 hour every day. You don't say, oh, today I have to go to school, I have to do some gym, I have to have some more homework. Okay, then I don't do it tomorrow. And then, you know, when can you become really good? You understand what I mean, right? Do not, during the night, single-mindedly recite the Buddha's name and meditate. Why? Because this monk, you know, who translates this, you know, is one who belongs to the Buddha name reciting branch. That is, he prefers to push everyone to recite the Buddha name. And the reason I change that is that because if you read in the sutras, many of the sutras, in fact, you know, all of the Theravadin sutras, they don't speak anything about the Buddha names reciting. In the Mahayana, we have a few of them. During the night, single-mindedly recite the Buddha's name and meditate. You should never while away the time, excuse me, causing deep regret in the future. This part, you don't have anything to worry, right? You recite the name of the Buddha and meditate. You see that? So you have two different practices here. Either you meditate, or if you don't know how to meditate, you just recite the name of the Buddha. That is, you know, to practice. Members of the assembly, keep these precepts single-mindedly and respectfully. Study them and cultivate in accordance with the Dharma. That is, you know, on this rule, we have to observe them. Because like we just said, the Buddha told to Ananda, after he passed away, keep the precept, ask the teacher. Most virtuous one, today is the 15th or 14th day of the month, the moon is full or not in full, we are holding the Bodhisattva. This first paragraph, you know, is just a repeat of the one, you know, we have learned before, right? Because you remember in the time, you know, there was no, like, let's say, today is the 6th of January, things like this. In the time, they didn't have that. So they say, today is the full moon or the new moon, things like this, and which month? We are holding the Uposatha. Uposatha is the gathering to reciting the precept. We call them Uposatha. Uposatha is just that. Or practice a retreat for the 8 precepts. Whenever you recite the, in fact, you know, Uposatha means gathering to recite all the precepts, any kind of precept is Uposatha. Or a gathering for the retreat for the 8 precepts. Because the 8 precepts is the only practice that the Buddha taught to the lay people and his disciple to practice twice a month in his time. And now they know all the people from Hinayana, that is small vehicle, or Mahayana, big, great vehicle, no, still practice together. They practice the same thing. That's, in fact, no, is the only practice, no, which is common to both of them, to all of the Buddhists. the Uposatha of the eight precepts. But one chayoy, but one chayoy, you can even go to Thailand, you can practice it. You go to Taiwan, you practice it. They do practice it. Same thing. 24 hours, like us here. But other than that, Uposatha means reciting, assembly to recite the precepts. Reciting the Bodhisattva precept, in that case, you know, it's for the Bodhisattva precepts, members of the assembly should listen attentively. Whoever has transgressed, confess now. That is, you know, whoever commit some wrongdoing, just say it. Otherwise, remain silent. By your silence, I shall know that this assembly is pure and may recite the precepts. Now that I have finished the preamble to the Bodhisattva precepts, I ask you once more, member of the assembly, are you pure? Three times. Three times for the mouth, the body, and the mind. You understand why three times, right? Members of the assembly, by your silence, I know that you are pure. This is something of which you should all be aware. Homage to the Brahmanet assembly of Bodhisattva and Buddha, three times. The word is Namo. You remember we said about that before, right? In previous classes, Namo is the Sanskrit word Nama. Nama. Nama means the name. That is like homage to the whoever. Namo Ajita Phat. Okay, homage to the Amitabha Buddha. In fact, you know, in all the religions, they have the same thing. People who venerate God, like the even the Jews, they call them Hallelujah. So, Hallelujah, Hallelujah means homage to Ah, Yah. Because, see, their rule prohibits them to say the name of God. And the name of their God is Yahweh. Yahweh. Yahweh, the name of their God. But it's prohibited for them to say the word. So they say only Yah. Instead of Yahweh, they say Yah. So Hallelujah, Yah. Homage to Yah. That's it. In fact, when you see, in the time, like 2 years ago, the New York Times, you know the New York Times? That's a daily. Daily, you know, very renowned. They report, you know, they make a report about the religion of the Jews, and they wrote down the name of Yahweh. And then, you know, it was delusion with the protest from people, because they're not supposed to say that word. So be careful. Okay? So that is the reason why they call them only Hallelujah, not Hallelujah way. Right? Understand? Namo just means that. Now we go into the sutra. We have not gone into the precepts yet, because this part of the sutra contains the precepts. Now we go into this part of the sutra. The Buddha speaks the Brahmanet Sutra. We already know that, right? We learn. Bodhisattva Mai-Grau chapter. This is the chapter of the Mai-Grau. Mai-Grau means the mind in which the ground will sprout everything. That is Alaya Vinaya. That is the womb. You know, the world, you know, the thing that will sprout everything. Your mind, from your mind, you know, sprout everything. Everything comes from the mind. The Mai-Grau chapter, secret parts. The first part is different. No, they take only this part because this part now have all the precepts. Based on Kumarajiva's text, you will understand Kumarajiva, right? We only explained about him. Vairocana Buddha. Vairocana, we learned about him already, right? Last time, you remember? That's what we call by the primordial Buddha, symbolizing, you know, all the Buddha. He's not the first Buddha. Don't misunderstand it. Because a lot of people misunderstand it and think that he was the first Buddha. Before him, there was all the Buddhas also. Vairocana is just not symbolic. He's not real. He just means everything, every Buddha. At the time, Vairocana Buddha began speaking in general about the Mai-Grau for the benefit of the Great Assembly. What he said represents but an infinitesimal, that is very, very tiny part, the quantum, say it, quantum part. It's how better, right? Part of the tip of a hair of his innumerable teachings, as numerous as the grain of sand in the river Ganges. That is, you know, the Vairocana Buddha talked about that. But what he said is only a small, very, very, very small part. He knows everything, but he speaks only about that. So this part is not know the everything. He concludes, the Mahayana has been explained, is being explained, and will be explained by all the Buddhas, past, present, and future. It is also the Dharma door, that is the cultivation method, that all the Bodhisattva of the past, present, and future have studied, are studying, and will study. You don't have any question about this part, right? That is, you know, he said that, well, he explained about the Mahayana. That is the mind, from the mind, you know, spark everything. Now the Buddha of the past, Buddha of the time, present time, Buddha of the future, all of them will say the same thing, or have said the same thing. Nothing different. I have cultivated this Mahayana Dharma door for hundreds of eons. Right? My name is Vairocana. I request all Buddhas to transmit my word to all sentient beings so as to open this path of cultivation to all. That is very important. Remember that the Mahayana, that is the mind from the mind and the spark everything. At that time, from his lying throne in the lotus treasury world, Vairocana Buddha emits ray of light. This is a little bit, you know, difficult to understand. You can read, you know, the note, the footnote. In this, you have the book, so you can read the footnote. But basically, the lion throne is the seat where the Buddha sits. We call it, you know, lion throne. Not, you know, that the Buddha is lion or something like this. But the Buddha is compared to a lion. That is, you know, the king of the king. And the lotus treasury word, the word, if you remember, the Brahmanet is the same thing. Lotus is the flower. Have you seen the lotus before? The lotus, you know, is like this, it sprouts out. And when it sprouts out, you know, there are pitons. And they are like small things inside, which is spread out. So then, when you see the lotus, there are different kind of flowers. Like, you know, if you see orchid flowers, it's probably differently. It has only three leaves. I mean, three pitons, like this. So, it does look like this, but lotus, when it sprouts out like this, it's like the world. Infinitesimal. That is, each piton represents one world. And one world is linked to another world, to link to another world, and linked to another world. So, they call them lotus treasury world. It's just a comparison. That is, our world is related to other worlds. There is nothing, you know, independent. Vairocana Buddha emits ray of light. Ray of light means like whenever a Buddha or a Bodhisattva start to emit the light, that means that he starts to say something, to espouse something. A voice amongst the rays is heard telling the Buddha seated on thousands of lotus pitons. Ah, now you see it. Each piton, this lotus, you know, does not have like 10 or 20 pitons, like a normal lotus, it has 1,000 pitons. And each Buddha sits on a piton. Anyone, you know, who have gone to the eight precept before? Have you gone to the eight precept before? Probably you, right? The eight precept, Upasada, Padmacharya. Have you gone to? That is the reason why you have to go. You don't go, you don't know. That's it. So you went to the eight precept, especially in the Mahayana, in the morning, when you wake up at 5 o'clock, they make you recite the Surangama mantra. Namo tada tato jadada ra de tam yutam boda pa tada tato jako chi sam ni sam namo tada babo vietar babo vietar blah 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 like this. 427 phrases like this. Mantra. And in it, you know, you start to see, at first, you know, you see that the Buddha sit down. And then, you know, from his mind, you know, sprout, from his forehead, sprout a light. This light will shine up, and then from so this line will shine 1,000 light. And then from each line will sprout a lotus. Each lotus will sprout out 1,000 pitons. And on each piton sit the Buddha. And each Buddha will sprout out 1,000 of Kimkamatik. That is, you know, the Vajrapala. That is the one, you know, who is set in the sutra to hold on one arm the mouth and the other arm a sword. Now you say, oh, what's that? But you see, that is immense, big. If you can carry one mountain, that means that you can, you must be bigger than the mountain. Is it understand? So this Dhammapala, that is no Dhamma protector, is bigger than the mountain. And then one arm will hold the sword. So this sword must be really big, right? Bigger than the mountain. So just imagine that if I do something wrong, you know, and then he tried to, oops, oh, my God. I'll be reborn, right? So, you see, whenever you recite this, you see thousands and thousands, thousands. So that's immense. Generally, the Buddha seated on thousands of lotus feet on Yusuprati and uphold my royal Dharma door and transmit it to the innumerable Shakyamuni Buddha. That's difficult to understand. Because you see that all these Buddha, they are all Shakyamuni. Say, hey, there's something wrong here. Because Shakyamuni is historical Buddha. He's the son of his father, right? He has a wife, he has Rahula, his son. But now he's saying that innumerable Shakyamuni Buddha. You must know that Shakyamuni Buddha does not mean only this one. But any Buddha is called also Shakyamuni Buddha. Now you get a little bit confused, right? But you understand, figuratively speaking, they are all Shakyamuni Buddha. They are all enlightened. Buddha are, and Buddha is not different. So if you refer like, you know, oh, I pray only to Amitabha Buddha, I don't pray to Shakyamuni Buddha, that's wrong. That is the reason why, you know, we told you last time, some people say, this temple, they say, they recite the name of Buddha Amitabha, and they don't have the statue of Amitabha here. Do you see him? Right? You don't see Amitabha Buddha here. But who cares? See, because whenever you recite one Buddha, you recite every Buddha. So some other people will say, hey, this Buddha is Shakyamuni Buddha. So you should recite only the name of Shakyamuni Buddha. It's weird to sit in front of Shakyamuni Buddha and say, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha. Like, you know, if I sit in here, instead of saying, hey, Johnny, I say, hey, Viet, hey, Viet, hey, Viet, hey, Viet, and say, are you all right? Right? See? Like, you know, with our mind, we think that it's not right. It's not right. But then if we think, if we remember that all Buddhas are alike, he is just a symbolic. So he is not, you know, like a Thai Buddha, because some people say here, hey, this statue, he doesn't look like a Vietnamese Buddha. Have you heard about that? That's weird, because there's no Vietnamese Buddha. Anyway, Buddha is like Nepalese or Indian, but see, well, it's only symbolic. We just sit and we figure, because when you remember, we said it before, right? In front of the Buddha, I see myself. The Buddha is like a mirror. I see myself here. I am sitting over there. Not some statue or some piece of wood or some copper thing. So you see it? So this one is the same thing. The innumerable Shakyamuni Buddha, because every Buddha can be called Shakyamuni. One after another, as well as to all sentient beings, everyone should uphold, recite, and single-mindedly put its teaching into practice. After receiving the Dharma door of the Mahayana, the Buddhas sit atop the mountain of lotus flower along with the innumerable Shakyamuni Buddha. All arose from their alliances. You understand on this part, right? This figuratively speaking, but this is the same thing. Their bodies emitting innumerable rays of light. In each of these rays appear innumerable Buddhas who simultaneously made offering of green, yellow, red, and white celestial flowers to Vairocana Buddhas. They then slowly took their leaves. This is not difficult to understand, except for this part. Made offering of the green, yellow, red, and white celestial flowers. That is every flowers of every color. You remember we said before, right? The green, yellow, red, and white. In the time of they already know that from these and flower on the colors. If you have the green color, the yellow, the red, and the white, of course you don't need it. the green, yellow, and red, you have all the colors. You learn about the color?
Blue,
red, green, yellow, RGB.
Yeah, RGB.
Yeah.
Blue.
Blue. But what is green? Tell me, what is green?
Yellow, blue.
Okay. Right? They are not wrong. You see? You think that they are wrong, but they are not wrong. Because blue is blue. Blue, not green. But green is blue and yellow. So that's blue there. You just subtract it, and you have the blue. So you have all the colors. See, but be careful. Now, I'm serious now. They translate here in green. But truthfully, no, in the world of the sutra, it was blue. When you recite those Amitabha Buddha, Sariputta, tâm thanh sắc thanh quang huỳnh sắc huỳnh quang sắc sắc huỳnh quang bạch sắc huỳnh quang huy diệu huỳnh kết. Remember, chỉ trung liên hoa minh ở in the middle of the pearl, the flowers big like the wheel. Thanh sắc thanh quang huỳnh sắc huỳnh quang xích sắc huỳnh quang bạch sắc thanh minh blue, not green. But in the time, no, people cannot differentiate that. In fact, in Vietnamese, no, xanh, you remember, xanh mean blue and xanh also mean green. You see, xanh lá cây green, xanh lá trời xanh dương blue, but xanh, you cannot differentiate. The word were the same, so they were not wrong. They were not wrong, but whenever they translate, they must be more specific. Either it's green or it's blue. We cannot say blue-green. We can, of course, now, but no. And so what that means, all the flowers, every kind of flowers, all the colors. They didn't know that the white is different. The white is a combination of all the colors. Now you know, right? Because if you have a white light, you refract it with a prism, and you see all the colors. If you combine all these colors into of the prism, you have the white color. But in the time, it was already smart like this. The Buddha then disappeared from the lotus treasury world, entered the essence, nature, empty space, program, brain, samadhi. This is a little bit difficult to understand, but basically, we come from nowhere and we come back to nowhere. Whenever we say something like this, we think that, well, we have somewhere to go and somewhere to come. Like, you know, we have a house, we come to the temple, and after that, you know, we come back to our house. We have a place. But nothing is nothing. Nothing is combination of everything. You're like a lay person. You have a house. You have a temple. You leave your house, you come to the temple to study, to eat something, to play, to argue, to fight, or whatever, and then you go back to your house. But suppose you're a monk. You come visit your parents. That's your house. And then you come to the temple. That's also your house. So you don't leave anything. Now, if you practice longer, you will think that this temple is your house. So you leave the temple, leave the house, you come to the temple and practice, do the Bakon Chai, Uposatha for one day, one night. You don't feel any difference. You don't have to look. What time is it? Quick, we have to go home. We have to watch whatever. We have to watch like the Jaguar, right? But they just win the Pittsburgh. So, they just won Pittsburgh, right? Yeah, in the last minute. Oh, cool. So, we have to go on, see. But if you think that this is your house, you don't have to worry about that. Probably, you know, like the Shaolin soccer or whatever, right? You see this? And then you think that the temple is your house, you can just bring the TV in here and watch it. But basically, the Buddha then disappeared from the lotus and treasury walk into the essence, nature, empty. That is, you know, he come back to where he from. And returned to their former place under the Bodhi tree in this world of Jambudvipa. Jambudvipa is another word for the Saha world. The Saha world, we have the Jambudvipa. They divide in four parts. Jambudvipa, you know, is the south part. That is not the India at the time. They then arose from their samadhi. You understand samadhi, right? We learned about that before. Samadhi is the concentration part. Set on their diamond throne. Diamond throne means just the lotus throne, the throne of the Buddha. Whatever lasting, durable, you know, is called diamond. And the heaven of the four kings and preach the Dharma of the ten ocean of war. Now the heaven of four kings, you already know that, right? You can do it. We have the Sumeru mountain. In the cosmology of Buddhism, our world, you know, have the Sumeru mountain. The Sumeru is the center, big world. It's not like Everest. Don't compare it to Sumeru mountain. We have the two parts. The middle part belongs to the four heaven kings. The top part belongs to the Kshatriya king. That is Buddhistic bottom. The top. So the middle one, you know, is belong to the four heaven king. And all these are like the diva, the gods. And we call them the Akutian. I mean, that the god, you know, staying in the ground. Because all the gods will fly. But these gods, you know, they fly, but they stay in the ground like us, with us. So the heaven of the four kings is the closest heaven to us in the world, in the world of desire. We call them the realm of desire. We have six heavens. And the closest is the heaven of the four kings. The next one is the heaven of the Kshatriya king. And we learn about all the heaven here. Thereupon, they ascend to Lord Shakya palace and espouse the tenderly. That is the top of the Sumeru. We just say that, Lord Shakya. And espouse the ten dwellings, the ten ocean of world. The ten dwellings, the ten practices, you learn about the ten dedication. These are all the practices of the Bodhisattva said in the Avatamsaka Sutra. Okay. You have not learned this sutra yet, so don't worry about that. But basically what it means is that all these are the practices of Bodhisattva. Progressively, from Lord Shakyamuni espouse the ten dwelling, and proceed to the Suyama heaven and taught the ten practices. In Vietnamese, they call the Choi Dao Lợi, Choi Dhamma. That is above the third heaven, above the Shakya, and taught us the ten practices, Thapai, the ten practices of the Bodhisattva. Proceed further to the fourth heaven, after the third heaven, the fourth heaven. The fourth heaven and taught the ten dedication. The fourth heaven is what we call by the Tusita heaven. Tusita heaven is where, you know, you, if you really, you know, take the vow of Bodhisattva, whenever you die, you can come go into there to wait to be reborn somewhere. Unless, you know, you make a vow with you. Like, you know, you make a vow like, when after I die, I want to come to like a Senegal to help all these people who are in fight with each other, or to Somalia. They are like starving and they try to kill each other. I will become a Bodhisattva over there, and then I will try to teach him how to stay in peace. Something like this. If you make a vow like this, whenever you are reborn, you can go directly and become like a black person in Senegal. But if you don't make this vow yet, and you practice right, a Bodhisattva, whenever you die, you go into this fourth heaven. The fourth heaven is Tusita. Tusita has two parts, the inner part and the outer part. The outer part is only for like people who do a lot of good merits, do a lot of practice, good, they can go over there, stay for a while, and then they will drop. But for the Bodhisattva, you go into the inner circle. Whenever you get into the inner circle, you will meet with who? You remember him? The next Buddha? Makaya. He will be the next Buddha. And he is now in over there. He's a Bodhisattva in there. So this is the place, the fourth heaven is the place where all the Bodhisattva, you know, will wait to be like reborn somewhere, anywhere, according to your liking. So this fourth heaven, and taught the ten dedication, proceed further to the transformation of bliss heaven, that is the fifth heaven, Hua Lai, and taught the 10 Dhyana Samadhi, proceed further to the heaven of comfort from all the emanation, that is top of it. That is Thavatitai. And the king of it is Mahavang, is the head of it. Why? Because in this last one, the heaven of comfort from all the emanation, you can do anything you want. If you like, you like to have something, you get it right away. So if you like something and you can get it, you will become a deva. I mean deva, not deva. That's easy. Oh, in those words, spoiled kid. It's like if you're really spoiled, you will not be good. You understand what I mean, right? So that is the reason why the Buddha always told us, whenever you practice, don't make vow to become a god, and don't make any vow to be reborn in heaven, because after that, it will be very difficult for you to practice. Either you are reborn as a human, or go away completely. And thought the 10 Vajra, proceed further. Now, that is on the heavens, the 6th heaven of the realm of desire. Now we go further, in the 4th heaven of the realm of form. Proceed further to the 1st Dhyana heaven and taught the 10 Vajra state. Vajra means diamond. Proceed further to the 2nd Dhyana heaven and taught the 10 patience. It's very difficult to practice. You see, more difficult. You practice, it's difficult. Dedication is easy. You do something, you say, okay, I don't want to keep it for me, I want to give someone else. No, not difficult, but it's not too difficult. But Vajra state means that you don't come back. That's very difficult. You do something, what I mean, you see, you do something, you keep on doing it. If I don't succeed, I will not fall back. That's very difficult. And now, the second Dhyana in 10 patients. Oh, difficult. More difficult. The king said, hey, what are you? I'm monk. What are you? You practice patience. Patience? Clap your hand. Can you be patient? Yes, sir. Get another one. Yes, sir. You see, you can not do things like this. So you can be practice your teacher, your parent will say something wrong about you. You wouldn't start to fight with him. So, you can practice some patience. But then, those guys, not easy, right? And then, if they keep on doing it, someday, we'll get back, right? So, 10 patience. And proceed further to the 3rd Dhyana heaven and taught the 10 vows. And finally, in the 4th Dhyana heaven, that is the top of the realm of form. Finally, in the 4th Dhyana heaven, at Lord Brahma's palace, they taught the My Ground Dharma Door chapter, which Varukaina in the young past is found in the Lotus Treasury Book. The Lord Brahma Palace, okay, be careful with this, because this is old sutta, so there's some discussion about this. Truthfully, the Lord Brahma Palace belong to the last one, that is the top of the six heavens of the desire. We run out of time now. And we still don't arrive to that yet. So, you will come back for more, right? Whenever we go into these precepts, we can go fast, because they are probably alike. Only, they say that, do not kill, do not steal, do not drink, things like this. But other than that, they are easy. But the sutra part is a little bit difficult, because probably, you don't understand that much. Nguyện đem công đức này hướng về khắp tất cả đệ tử và chúng sinh đều chọn thanh Phật đạo.